Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
You are listening to the White Sox Win Game 1 White Sox Talk Podcast, brought to you by Wintrust. Chuck Garfine here with Ryan McGuffey. Guff, Giolito was dealing. Adam Engel was hitting. Bob Melvin was sabermetricking or just doing some managing that doesn't make any sense. And if you're on the podcast, Ozzie Guillen's going to vent about why he doesn't like Bob Melvin and his decision-making, but we love it.
Yeah, looks like somebody didn't do their homework. Tim Anderson was right. And the White Sox capitalized, did exactly what they had to do off a left-handed starter, chase him early, get some runs, go behind their ace, and let everything else take care of itself. It's exactly the script that you had to drop in game one.
This was a script that I was not sure was going to happen, but yes, the White Sox are now 15-0 against left-handed starters. I thought it was an inflated stat.
I tried telling you.
Well, I was not thinking it couldn't happen. I just didn't think it would happen, and yet it did, and I love it. Here on the podcast, Ozzie Guillen and Frank Thomas will share all sorts of knowledge they gave us on the postgame show. By the way, Ozzie almost predicted the final score in the first inning. Frank said jump on the A's early, and sure enough, they did. Great stuff from both of them on Giolito, Engel, why the White Sox have an edge during the day in Oakland, something I had not considered until Frank said it. That and a whole lot more on the White Sox Talk Podcast. Guff and I will be back together after it's the Ozzie and Frank show here on the White Sox Talk Podcast.
White Sox! White Sox! Go, go, White Sox!
That ball hit deep, way back! Deep to left field!
Holy cow! Carl Pittsburgh has put the White Sox ahead!
Jimenez leaves the ballpark! You can't put it on the board! Yes!
We got a chance to do something real special.
All right, sit back, relax, and strap it down. It's time for the White Sox Talk Podcast.
It's funny. Right around the first inning, Ozzie says, Sox are going to win 5-0.
4-1.
I mean, you almost pulled this off.
No, you know why? I don't watch numbers, and I look the way Giolito's throwing, and I look at who he faced. And when you throw a strike to these people with this ballpark, you know you got to run easy with. And after I see the genius move about one of my favorite managers, by the way, he got men of first base open. He got first base open and the best hitter in baseball, not just White Sox, in baseball.
Right now.
It's at the plate and you got a backup catcher hitting behind him. And you let him pitch, 3-0 game, it was over.
You've been waiting to say this on the air for about 2.5 hours.
Over.
You were fired up.
First time I ever tweet, even when I was coaching, manager, playing, first time I ever tweet about baseball, and I couldn't hold it that much because that's why numbers, statics, how you call that?
Stats. Oh, sabermetrics.
Sabermetrics. That's not word. First of all, you started with a lefty, 22 years old. Uh-huh. Excuse me? One. That's the first one. Second one. You do that. You know, read who's behind, who's in front, what they hit, when they hit against lefty. Baseball is up here. Nobody here.
That's good. That's good.
He's
not
right
here. No, here.
Here.
No, not here. Here. Not here.
In this one,
yeah.
In this one, you can put whatever you want, the good and the bad.
Yes.
You can hide the bad, and you can lay the good going forward. This is a between thing. That's a common sense.
Yes.
Exactly.
You look up back and say, oh, my God, Jose, is the first base open? Really? Jose? Yeah. Now you don't even start to pitch. You go, hey, you make a phone like this. You go with the feet like
now
hey.
You go like this.
You go like this. Go put it on first base. Don't
yes,
even, you know, even, you know what I mean?
You shouldn't have to think about it.
No.
That's what we were all thinking that. Why would you do this? Bob Melvin's one of the best managers, smartest managers
yes.
in baseball.
Adele just texted me and said, Grandpa, what are they doing?
How old is Adela?
Two.
Two years old.
Two and going to 20, but she like, Grandpa, really? I got to tell Ozzy Jr. don't leave, no watch the game because he thought he can manage.
All right. Well, let's begin by talking about Lucas Giolito. This was his first playoff start. He had that locked-in look starting around the second inning. That was the same look that he had. This is not the look. Right now, this is my first inning look. But pretty soon, he had that no-hitter look.
He was magical. You know, this guy really believes in his stuff now. He's got the best changeup for me in baseball at this particular time. Mm-hmm. And you can watch the hitters. They're in between constantly because once you see that 94-mile-per-hour fastball and he comes back with an 82, 83-mile-per-hour changeup that looked like a stop, it gets you off-center at the plate. You're going to sit on a changeup, you're going to sit on a fastball, and what happens after that, everybody's in the middle and he has your way with you because there's a nasty slider also. But Lucas Giolito right now is pitching at the top of his game as one of the top starters in all of baseball.
McCanna know this guy better than his own kids.
That's the look, by the way.
But it's just amazing the way they know each other, the amazing they go about the game, the amazing they fit each other up without call timeout. You know, I mean, the longer you're chasing the high fastball, you cannot hit that changeup. All of a sudden, it's okay, it's 2-3 pitch. All of a sudden, they're coming with a breaking ball out of nowhere, like right there. And it's a tremendous outing for Giolito.
Yeah, he looks like a horse that's in the Kentucky Derby that can't wait to get out of the gate.
And the guy who broke up the no-hitter was Lestella, who's with the Cubs the last couple of years and knows he throws a lot of changeup and got a changeup back through the middle because I'm sure he's set on it. But as for the rest of those hitters, they were baffled. They haven't seen a changeup that good in a very long time. And in baseball, the changeup is the best pitch alive.
How much do you think Dallas Keuchel helped him get it set and ready and prepared for this start?
He talked about the hitters because he's been in the division. He knows their hitters. But when you got a changeup like that, it doesn't matter. You don't need it. If you're hitting your spots and mixing that changeup, you become a whole nother level pitcher.
Did you think he was going to go with a no-hitter today?
I almost did. I said, that guy got a chance to throw a no-hitter. I was telling Frank back in the room, I said, He will throw a no-hitter. Because his stuff, it was good enough. He was so great. You can see it when he left his finger, the soon he left that, I said, man, this changeup, it was unhittable. Mm-hmm. Changeup was like the ball stopped right in the middle of the play and mm-hmm. the total high fastball, good breaking ball, and mindset to be the guy is hard man all year long. And it's fun to watch, man, I'm telling you. It's fun to watch that guy. Even when he's not on, he battle. Yeah. He show you team, I'm the man. Even I don't have my best stuff, I got to be out there busting my tail for you guys.
Let's look at the breakdown of pitches for Giolito. There were 54 fastballs, a lot more sliders in this one. Now, what did that do, do you think, to the A's? Because they're probably preparing for the fastball and changeup more.
Made it more perfect. You know, you're throwing a slider mixed in with that many fastballs and changeups. I'm telling you, you can't sit on one pitch, and that was make this guy devastating. Mm-hmm. I love watching him pitch now. It is old school because when I came to the big leagues, all guys can throw a changeup, a good curveball, and spot the fastball. They didn't have that huge velocity, but they kept you off balance that way, and that's what he's doing now. But he has that 95, 96 gas to go behind it.
I think, you know, they have a something behind the scene. Like I said, you know what? They'll be watching you for so long that you know they throw fastball, change your fastball, but you just mix little bit of slider to confuse them or to let them know you got a good slider. Mm. Today's slider was working very well. Way better pitcher.
Yeah, because if you're a hitter, okay, fastball, changeup. Wait, there's a slider and I got to think about that now?
Because if not, you'll have a tendency of sitting on a changeup or sitting on a fastball. Yeah. But the equalizer, that breaking ball with great tilt to it, and I'm telling you, he's throwing for a strike now. He is absolutely nasty. He's a nightmare for any hitter at this point.
All right, so how rare is it to throw six perfect innings in your postseason debut? It's only happened four other times. Most recently, Mike Mussina in 2004. Only one pitcher has ever thrown a perfect game in the playoffs, and that was Don Larsen in his debut back in 1956. I want to get to the eighth inning, because that's when he comes out. I personally, Chuck Garfine, sportscaster, didn't think he looked I didn't think he looked that good in the seventh. I'm gonna say looked that good. He didn't seem to have the same command. He comes out for the eighth, and then it's four straight balls. So what did you think?
Well,
here?
We said to you, it's batter to batter at that point. He had a long in-between inning, and he came out. If you four pitch walk to the first batter, you take him out. That's just what it is. You've done your job. Let's get to my devastating bullpen.
By the way, when you're saying it right, you know, it was sitting there for a little while, and all of a sudden when you see the long, you lost your rhythm. And as soon as, when I saw Renteria out, in my mind was, I will take him out, but I guess Renteria knows his player better than me. But I think leave him out of there. And but I think, you know, I mean, the reason Oakland A's always back in the ninth inning, the most dangerous hit, team, because they can hit. Well, they have tough time this year to hit. And then what? The bullpen keep down the game. They don't score that many runs again. The bullpen, boom, they already come. You're back in the
They're really good in the late innings.
Yeah, just because they have great bullpen.
Yes, they keep them in the game, so it gives the offense a few innings.
By the way, Chuck, another one. A friend of mine was talking about who they face. Seattle.
Texas. Houston.
Houston's depleted this
Houston
year.
Is okay. Number Angels. Good on you.
Angels.
The Angels. Okay.
Three bad pitching ball teams at this particular time. They're off their pitching stats.
What I do. We talk about it. Like, what those guys was facing and what the guy was pitching. All these guys, they can't hit. And by the way, you know, the Angels are supposed to have an unbelievable hitting ball club. They don't. But those guys they was facing, you know, was nothing special.
I got a tweet from someone today. I wish I remembered your handle. But he said, he pointed out something that I did not even know. You want to guess how many of the 60 games that the A's played were against teams with winning records out of 60?
Wow.
How many games? I'm going to tell you.
No, because Houston made it, and Houston's not.
But okay, 500. And then they played the NL West. They have the Dodgers and the Padres. They only played 6 games against teams with winning records. They got 3 with the Dodgers, 3 with the Padres, and that was it.
Something to think about, too. In that division, how many true number one starters are in that division?
Not that many.
Think about the teams.
By the way, maybe San Diego got one, like, wow, you got it for Cleveland. And you know.
Well, they went 2-4 against the Dodgers and the Padres.
Yeah, about the Padres and, you know, the Dodgers. That's different way.
That's not your division. That's
Seattle,
not your division.
Nah. Well, Houston,
Seattle,
West,
Texas,
and,
the Texas. Angels.
So Texas has
Houston.
Lynn's good.
Yes, but that's – Lynn is good sometimes. Straight fastball. I mean, he comes at you with a fastball.
Right.
But all the number one stars are in the rest of baseball now. They're in the Central or they're in the East Coast.
That's why we – around there said, like, wow, those guys coming back every time. Yeah, because they got good pitchers. Keeping close. Couple hits, one home run, we win the game.
Yeah, but still.
And they have one of the best closers.
Right.
Yes.
But still, the Sox fan in me who has lost many years of his life watching losses in Oakland, I still had, there was this Oakland thing.
It's a night game.
Hey.
The best thing could happen to us, we got day games there.
You're talking to me.
Night game, it's 12 o'clock at night here, we're on the field, and it's early in Oakland, and we're just dead tired on the field. And next thing you know, they're kicking us in late in ball games.
Hey, by the way,
you know that.
I never have a group.
The late games will kill you out there, managing or player.
I told you, I don't remember having a good game. We talk about it. You have a good game there? I say, they're not playing Oakland?
Day games.
No.
We've gotten better in day games in Oakland, not night games.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, the Sox had not won a game in Oakland since 2017. Mm-hmm. This is their first win there. They had an 8-game losing streak
The most important one.
Yeah, it is.
Exactly.
And the A's have this playoff thing. They haven't won a playoff series since you played for them in 06.
But they continue to fight. They will be back tomorrow.
Yeah,
they will pitch well. They'll have all hands on deck. We'll go through 6 pitchers tomorrow. But once again, you got to jump on them quick. If you jump on them quick, they won't be able to come back.
You called this.
That's the type
of
offense
they are.
You guys
call this. You guys know too much about baseball, I tell you.
It's just
you
watching them all year.
Way before. You said
if you let them get you back in the late innings with their bullpen, their bullpen's going to hold. They're going to take a couple walks. They'll get a big hit. They'll get a big home run and win the ball game. They did that probably 80% of their season this year.
Yes. So it had to come down to the pitching. And the big story before the game was the A's, if you want to say gambling, putting out Jesus Luzardo, who was a lefty. The Sox were 14-0 against lefty starters coming in. And sure enough, they got to him early, and it was Adam Engel, my under-the-radar pick, making me look like I know what I'm talking about.
Good one, yeah. You know what you're talking about. You watch the team very well, and those guys know how they let those big boys swing it. You know how they let Abreu beat you?
You're still hung up on Abreu?
How?
But this is Adam Engel hitting a home run.
That's a 1-0 game. Okay, so 1-0 game, you finish it. It's not easy to go 1-0 to 3-0.
That's true. He tucked those hands. This kid, continue to invest in your craft. You're becoming a real hitter. You're going to make a lot of money in this ball game because you're already a gold glove defender. But now you can hit, and you're hitting now with power and authority. Watch out for this kid in the future.
Really quick on our angle, did you see him on an 0-2 pitch? He took a big breath, and then he hit that home run. Okay, now go. Here's your Abreu.
You know, man,
do it.
I don't know.
Go nuts.
I don't know what's better. No, I'm going crazy because I love it.
Yeah.
I love it, yes. By the way, the pitching was Miller away. Hit me, baby. Hit me, baby. Hit it hard the way you do it all year long. Yes. Come on, bro. It's a common sense.
But you said it earlier. He's a 22-year-old rookie starting game one in the playoffs for the Oakland A's.
Okay.
Big mistake.
Where's the camera?
Left-handed starter.
No, is it? Okay. You as a manager, coach, you go, hey, think about it. Go in or go away because you can see the Oakland dugout. You're so big, you can see you. Come on. You know, it doesn't take it. And believe me, and I love Melvin. I think Melvin is a great, great manager. You know his game. He prepared by his game, but this one fell out. And the main was three strikeout, boom, running to one. I love it. That's a big home run.
Yes, Manny Grandal, this is what he does. I told you guys the other day. That's why I like him in the fifth, sixth, and seventh hole. He'll strike out 2-3 times a game. But that last at bat, you groove a fastball, he will take you out of the ballpark. It's been his MO his whole career. That's why it's made him a lot of money. But I'm telling you right now, we need to back him up just a little bit because those strikeouts early in the game kind of slows down the offense. But he's proven what he's worth because those big home runs like that, he's been doing it his whole career, and I've watched him doing it. Yeah. I've watched him the last 7 years out west with the Dodgers and playing on the West Coast. He's great at that, and that's his game. He'll continue to do that.
Well, you was leaving out of the country?
No,
I'm West Coast. California. Okay, I'm sorry.
I'm living in California. I've watched a lot of his games. He's always hit sixth, seventh, but he will give you that presence in the back of the lineup with a big home run. Well, he does it consistently.
You said something on the pregame show that made sense, and unfortunately, Ozzie could not attest to this, and that is, what does the ball do during the day?
Oh, it flies in Oakland. I played the whole season there, and I knew. I got to be ready to day game. That's when I'm going to get my home runs. Yeah. Night game, they got that layer of air at night.
The fog,
you
the
can
mist.
Kill it, and it'll just die right at the wall. It's amazing.
So this is an
day
advantage
game,
for the
it
White
flies.
Yeah. That's what happened.
That's
Every
what happened.
Every time I played a day game there, I thought it was a night game. Golly.
They only started you in the night games. That's what happened.
We talk about playing every day, but to me, night, day, afternoon, weekend, snow. It don't make any difference. Maybe Oakland is the place I drink more vodka in my career than any place else.
That would lead playing in that stadium, in that team, that would lead to
especially
vodka.
When I was playing against the Tony La Russa Oakland A's.
Ooh. Wow. Dave Stewart,
Welsh, all those guys, you're like, man, Moore.
You had what? Hudson.
Oh, damn, I play Hobson. I play against Hobson.
No, I play against all those guys.
Zito.
And that's so stupid. I just told him, you want to play tomorrow against Zito? I said, I wake up and go, 0-4. Somebody out right now, 2020 baseball, my leg hurt, oh my God. And you know what I mean? I'll come up with like, man, I don't know, I don't sleep good today.
Yeah, I'll be out. I don't want to play. All right, I want to share something with you guys. Mm-hmm. Playoff debuts here today. Tim Anderson, 3 hits. Jose Abreu, home run. Adam Engel, home run. Giolito, 1 hit over 7. Luis Robert got a hit. And Alex Colome, first playoff game, a 1-2-3 ninth inning. So great to see. But my question for you guys is, no fans in the stands. How big of a difference is that for someone making their first playoff appearance and there's no fans there?
It's huge, especially on the road. On the road, you'd have felt a totally different ball game as a visiting team. Once we jumped on them, there was not the crowd to give you that energy to come back or make a run. And we just stomped them out. That's just what it is. The fire is out. We jumped on them early. We knew the kind of hitters they were. Giolito had his A game. There was no energy in the ballpark. They were done. They tried to do something in the eighth and ninth. It was too late because our bullpen is that good. But it's a totally different ball game when that 40,000 fans are not in there screaming and yelling, you know, really helping the energy of the offense.
But believe me, I didn't, as a player, as a coach, as a manager, being a playoff or World Series, nothing worse then come here to Wrigley Field and play against the Cubs. Mm-hmm. I was with Atlanta Braves and with the Marlins. I never see, or maybe because they never been in the playoff not often, they take the, my God, that was loud. Bro, I was coaching third base, like, really?
Yes.
I'm playing all my life here in Chicago. I never hear so many loud people like what's Wrigley Field when Marlins, they play against the Marlins. It was outstanding fans, yes. Mm-hmm. Manager point, you don't have 30 media members around you before and after the game, asking you questions, second guessing you. Mm-hmm. Why not? There's so many genius out there. Right now, you take a couple of jobs by that obviously is way
true.
More easy.
That's the biggest thing. The media is not overwhelming the locker room.
Yeah.
Normally in the playoffs, you get like 50 people in the locker room. And you're like, what the heck's going on here? And it gets bigger every round.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this round right here will probably have about 20. The next one's 30. The next one is 50. And it's crazy how many people get in there. And it gets under you a little bit. It gets you nervous because you understand the importance. Without the fans and without the media in the locker room, it's really what they've been doing the last two months.
You can tune out all the noise.
It's just funny because when I was in the World Series, you know, I got a Japanese media. Obviously, American media, and plus I got all the Latin American media because I was Latino.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was. I even chanced to drink because when I left the media, Barry was close, and my wife was with me and my kids. You know, it just believe me. It's a way different scenario. Mm-hmm. Way different. You walk around the street, they're calling your name. Mm-hmm. We're going to get you. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's
in your mind more.
Yeah.
When you got
yeah.
the media and the fans in your head, you know, trying to get in your head.
But that being said, what's interesting about this is that, okay, no media, but right. it's this COVID world that they're in, which
yes.
is a whole other thing. And I would think you'd have to use other parts of your mind to get pumped up and to perform under these circumstances.
Well, I think this year. When the season starts, mm-hmm. biggest scenario in baseball because it's a player or anybody wearing a uniform or else in uniform working baseball, mentally you have to prepare very, very good mm-hmm. to compete this year.
Right.
Yeah. Very good. Better than any place out, any year, without doubt.
And you're seeing a lot of great players that really tanked
mm-hmm.
in this two-month sprint.
Yeah.
Because they can't get it up every day because the fans are not there to cheer them on and make them feel good about themselves. It's a different ball game. You tip the hat to the Sox, who had an incredible summer, just because no fans in the ballpark to lead all the baseball and home runs and everything else. There was a lot of focus going on in that locker room.
Do you have any bets going on for this series with your
No,
friends?
Yeah, I ain't stupid. I was stupid all year long. I lost more bet.
And you lost the last 2 days of the season.
I lost more bet the Detroit Tigers game.
Yeah, for all you watching, it's not money. You bet
no.
food and golf.
And golf.
Yes.
Well, Cock Hill gave me a great price. That's why I tried to deal with them.
Okay. By the way, I really like that tomorrow, Keuchel's on the mound,
mm-hmm.
and they got Crochet didn't pitch, Hoyer didn't pitch,
yes.
Foster didn't pitch.
Yes.
They're all rookies, but I feel
get
good.
Us to the six, baby.
Yeah.
Get us to the six.
Right.
I think that's exactly mm-hmm. what they want. That's exactly what Keuchel is. You know, they have great bullpen. That bullpen you can close, man. They got good arm, they throw a strike, they posited. And besides that, now they know they can pitch in this level.
Okay, back here with Guff. What I want to talk to you about is, first off, the Lucas Giolito look. First inning, he didn't really have the look. Second inning, started to have the look. Third inning, it is on. And then the whole nation saw it, correct?
TA in the postgame called it bully stage. When he enters bully stage, and then Gio was told that, and he actually went into depth about what it is. And then at the end kind of was like, wait, that TA said that? He's like, I kind of like that. I kind of like bully stage. And it's all over Twitter. White Sox Talk did a great job of capturing Lucas Giolito's eyes during bully stage. I think that's a perfect term for it because that's a man on a mission. He was on a mission today. You and I a few times throughout the game kind of discussed he's got the look. We just call it the look. That's what I've always called it, the look. He had that like Pittsburgh Pirates game, the no-hitter look, and clearly it translated. I mean, to me, at one point I looked over and I said, it looks like the Oakland A's are a bunch of 9-year-old little leaguers facing a 12-year-old team mm-hmm. where they just – you walk up there with knowing that you can't do anything, and for six innings they couldn't.
That look that he had, it's almost demonic.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a demon inside him. Because the Lucas Giolito, we all know, is kind of a happy-go-lucky guy. But then he has that thing in him that it's like, you are not, you cannot touch my stuff here. And if you do, there will be hell to pay.
And the thing is, it takes him a few innings to get the demonic look you're talking about. And if you don't get it in those first six outs, his ERA in the first inning, I think coming in, was in the sixes. If you don't get to him early and allow him to get to the bully stage, you don't have a chance. Like, that's what we've learned. He has become he's solidified himself as the ace of the Chicago White Sox and one of the best pitchers in the American League.
So Tim Anderson had that the A's didn't do their homework line,
yep.
which can come back to haunt them potentially when you give bulletin board material. Well, I asked Frank Thomas about that, and he said, well, that is something that fuels TA. And he goes, that's something that was that actually fueled Albert Bell. Bell would just do things like he'd look at the Gatorade and he'd see that it was red Gatorade before a game. He'd like, red Gatorade, and he'd get all mad and throw the red Gatorade. And people are like, this guy's crazy. I'm not saying TA did something like that, but sometimes you just got to say things to get you going, and maybe it helped TA more than it did the A's.
TA doesn't really care if it helps the other team, though. That's the thing. Yeah. And that's I saw that.
Well, Chris Bassett was going to use that for his fuel.
Well, good for him.
Game two.
And he should. But TA doesn't give a damn about that. Like, some teams are cautious about what they're saying because of how the other team might react. Tim Anderson has grown up, and he's so comfortable within his own skin that whatever he says, he's going to rile himself up the way he needs to pep himself up. And if it gets the other team fired up, it's not going to change what Tim Anderson does. As a matter of fact, it might even raise him to another game. And you know what? Quite frankly, they didn't do their homework. They shouldn't have started a left-hander in game one. They shouldn't. Tim Anderson sets the tone. He's the driver. He's the straw.
Yes.
You know, Abreu's the drink, but without the straw, sometimes the old-fashioned isn't that good. Sometimes you need the stir. He's the stir. Tim Anderson's the guy that gets it going. And they didn't do their homework. They shouldn't have started him. That's just the truth. And they're in Bob Melvin's head. Mm-hmm. They're in Bob Melvin's head that the fact that he's already thinking about, yeah, like we may have to go against the grain here in game three. Let's see what happens tomorrow first.
So the straw is TA.
All year long, I've called him the driver and the straw.
Okay, well, or how about we do this? I love
straw. Okay.
So he's the straw.
Yep.
What's the glass? The glass is Giolito?
If we want to put a pitcher, yeah, sure.
Okay, and the drink?
The drink is Abreu. Yeah. The drink's Abreu because he's a different hitter when the straw is in the drink, you know?
And the drink, like, it's funny. Like, it would be great. Here's the perfect scenario. Perfect scenario is T.A. is the straw.
Yeah.
He's batting first.
Yep.
Abreu is the drink, or the glass.
Yeah.
Batting third. And Moncada's the whiskey or the drink.
I kind of like the
liquid.
No, I kind of like, if Giolito's the glass, it's like fine china. It's not some like cheap, you know, like you're not having a 2 a.m. It's not a 2 a.m. Jack and Coke. It's a $17 old fashioned. That's what it is.
I might get one of those for myself here tonight. Well, hey, this was great. Sox take a 1-0 lead in the series. They go for the sweep for game two with Keuchel on the mound. It's funny that you can say go for the sweep after one game.
You can.
Yeah.
I mean, because of the wild card situation now, it's not a one and done.
Yeah.
You could say sweep.
Yeah, and I think get to Bassett early.
Look.
Again.
Look, yes. This what you've done, we talk so much. And
rightfully, in the teeth today.
Rightfully so. You've turned the page on the 2-8 mm-hmm. ending of the season. The offense is back doing what
they did.
There's
momentum.
There's momentum. And some people think momentum in baseball is not real.
Oh,
this is
real.
Yeah. Because you have an Oakland A's team that hasn't won a series in 9 years.
They have not won a playoff series no more. Since 2006 when Frank played
14
for the A's, they beat the Twins.
So Bob Melvin has never won a playoff series in 9 years as a manager. They've been to the playoffs, I believe, 6 times.
Yes.
Like, just like the Minnesota Twins are now facing 17-game losing streak, like, this is part of the Oakland A's past now. Like, those ghosts are circling. The ghost you referred to on the podcast we did yesterday, they're gone.
Yeah.
And it's another day game. Let that ball fly, baby.
Listen.
Chris Bassett.
I feel so much better. Like, I have an Oakland thing. I have it.
You do.
It's there. And I'm not the only one. I mean, it's just, it's there. I've sat on these post-game show sets, and our whole show has been flipped upside down in the 8th or 9th inning because of Kurt Suzuki's of the world. And I think some demons were exercised, not only with the demonic Lucas Giolito, but with this White Sox team in Oakland. And I'm glad they're day games.
And I'm glad Dallas Keuchel's on the mound. Like, yes. This is exactly why you signed Dallas Keuchel.
Yes.
Everything about why you brought him in for on-the-field purposes is for game two.
And my hope is that we will be back doing a White Sox Talk podcast, a winning Game Two White Sox Talk podcast your way.
Can we have, like, since there's no more champagne celebrations, can we, like, drink during it? Just, like, you and I can, like, toast as we're talking about
sure.
previewing a possible ALDS against the Houston Astros.
And maybe we'll be doing some old fashions.
$17 version.
Whatever it takes. I'll do a $34 one. It's been a long time. It's been 12 years since the White Sox have been in the playoffs. Actually, and won a series, we have to go back to 05.
Yeah.
So I'll do a $50 drink,
whatever
that is.
Buying. Let's go.
I'll buy. I don't give a blank. I need a playoff series win. It's been – there was one drought that ended today. Mm-hmm. They're in the playoffs, 12 years.
Yep.
You want to call – yeah, they won a game.
Yep.
It was 12 years in the playoffs.
Yep.
They haven't won a series since 05.
Let's do it.
Let's do it in game two. All right, Ryan McGuffey, Frank Thomas, Ozzie Guillen, and all of you, thank you for listening to the White Sox Talk podcast brought to you by Wintrust, your home for White Sox checking with free ATMs nationwide. Go to the special White Sox webpage. It's www.wintrust.com/Sox. Hawk Harrelson, I know you are ecstatic. Take it away.
Thanks, our Chuck. And this edition of the White Sox Talk podcast is over.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.